Oregon is home to increasing numbers of immigrants, most of them Latino. The Latino population is now more than 10% of the Oregon total, and the Latino student population even higher than that. CAUSA Oregon, C-A-U-S-A, looks like CAUSA, works on behalf of Latino immigrants' rights. And it is part of a coalition of groups called Defend Oregon's Ballot, which works to keep anti-immigrant measures off the ballot. Let's get a sense of the activities on immigrant rights from Andrea Miller, who's the CAUSA Oregon Executive Director. Andrea, you there?
Morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good to have you here. Tell us a bit about the general work of CAUSA Oregon.
So CAUSA is a Latino immigrant rights organization, and we were founded 21 years ago in 1995 because we saw an increase in attacks against immigrant families on the ballot box. And certainly we continue to see that today. Since that time, CAUSA has played a very important role in advocating for issues that impact Latino immigrants and their families at the state level, most notably in the state capitol. We do a lot of coalition building, leadership development, and also civic engagement because we recognize that as the Latino community continues to grow in Oregon, and I would say that the majority of that growth actually is native-born, so the majority of those individuals are U.S. citizens, and they're able to vote. And so it is more and more important that we register and turn out Latino voters in the state of Oregon, a community that continues to be under-reached out to by many campaigns.
You mean in the sense that they're more or less invisible to the campaigns? They're not spending a lot of time trying to gain the attention and get to the issues of Latino voters?
Well, most campaigns are focused on what you call a likely voter. And likely voters in Oregon tend to be older, tend to be male, and tend to be white. Latinos tend to be a lot younger. The average age of Latinos in Oregon is 27 years old. And so they definitely fall into that younger category, those that tend to need more outreach and more education in order to turn out to vote. And so it's a matter of making sure that organizations like CAUSA and encouraging other mainstream and large campaigns to build that into their work.
So to back up a couple steps, you mentioned in your opening sentences about attacks on immigrants. What kinds, and we're talking political sorts of attacks, but in what sense? What sorts of things have happened?
Well, after the loss of Measure 88, which was the big driver card ballot measure, our opponents, Oregonians for Immigration Reform, which is a nativist, nationalist, right-wing organization, felt emboldened to introduce three different initiatives that essentially are aimed to make life harder for many communities of color, including Latinos and immigrants in Oregon. And these included initiatives which were attempting to get these initiatives on the 2016 ballot and failed. These included instilling an English-only law in Oregon, restricting government agencies from providing materials and hiring individuals to provide services in languages other than English. The other one was voter registration restrictions. And then the third had to do with limiting employers' ability to hiring the employees that they need and instilling a federal background check administered by the Department of Homeland Security that all businesses would have had to mandatorily participate in Oregon. Luckily, none of these things actually came to fruition, but we know that they're not done. In fact, just last week, they filed several other initiative petitions in hopes to qualify for 2018. So we can see how this anti-immigrant rhetoric nationally, but also Oregon's long history, has played into encouraging groups like OFER in introducing these types of really negative and harmful initiatives.
Did any of the three initiatives you cite get even close to the ballot?
Not even close. They qualified to get a ballot title, and they did a little bit of signature gathering, but they were far off from collecting the signatures they needed for 2016.
And to what do you attribute that? Is it just because there was less appeal or less activity working on the pro side, or did the Defend Oregon's Ballot people really get out in force?
Well, there's lots of different elements when it comes to qualifying an initiative, but certainly a very large coalition about 58 organizations from across the state of Oregon came together very quickly to say, no, that's not the Oregon that we want. It's not in Oregon's values to be an unwelcoming state. And so we don't want these initiatives. We came together and worked really hard to educate the community about not signing this petition and the reasons why that these types of initiatives would be harmful for Oregon. So, you know, the coalition was very diverse. We had women's health organizations, environmental organizations, you know, beyond the typical players that you'd expect, like CAUSA. And so it was very encouraging to me to see these types of organizations that typically don't work on immigration come together and say, hey, let's stop this. Let's make sure Oregon is a welcoming place for everybody.
Andrea Miller is the director of CAUSA Oregon, the executive director. We're talking about policy priorities and things going on the ballot. And this year, as you heard, nothing on the Oregon ballot dealing with immigration this time around. That doesn't mean it won't happen in the future. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about immigration policy. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Andrea, does CAUSA distinguish between documented and undocumented immigrants? You're just working on behalf of all.
We work on behalf of all, but certainly we recognize that about 60% of Latinos in Oregon live in something called a mixed immigration status family. That means maybe there's children that are U.S. born citizens, maybe mom's undocumented, dad has a legal permanent residency. So we recognize that it's really important for us to look at the family unit and to work to resolve issues that impact all sorts of immigration statuses. Given that, you know, a majority of Latinos have this situation in their family.
The situation can get really interesting. You described it just there, but the idea that a younger brother can be an American citizen, but an older brother not, that causes some really interesting family dynamics, to put it mildly.
To put it shortly, it causes a lot of stress. A big focus of our work has been about keeping families together. And it's certainly true that the fear of mom or dad being deported, for no other reason other than being undocumented, is a daily fear that children in our state live with. And you just put the pieces together. 1 in 4 first graders in Oregon, in Oregon's public schools, are Latino. And if a majority, you know, they're quickly becoming a bigger and bigger part of our schools. And think about the type of stress, the type of fear, and how that may prevent Oregon from achieving some of our educational goals, you know, our jobs and career training goals. It's a huge barrier for so many kids to be afraid every day, you know, what if I don't see mom tonight when I come home from school? It's a reality. And so until we get something like immigration reform, it's going to continue to be a problem.
I can imagine there's got to be some sense of relief with not having those three initiative petitions that you were talking about make it to the ballot. But how important is this election to immigrants, Latino immigrants in Oregon, even without those?
The stakes are very, very high. When you look at the type of policies, immigration policies that presidential candidates are proposing, for example, I do not need to say names, but President Trump has threatened to take
away. He's not president yet. I just want to make that clear.
Right. I'm sorry. Presidential candidate Donald Trump is threatening to take away some very basic protections, that such as deferred action for childhood arrivals, which allows undocumented young people who were brought here when they're very little temporary relief from deportation and a work permit. He's threatening to take away some of the most basic things that protect families right now. And that is a very scary reality for so many young people in our state. And so the stakes are high. People know it. On the other hand, they've heard candidate Hillary Clinton talk about keeping DACA, expanding it, supporting immigration reform. So you only have to listen to your policy stance on immigration, it becomes very clear where they stand. And it's become clearly a centerpiece of this 2016 election. And I will have to say, although it's caused a lot of fear in the community, it's also having other side effects. So, for example, there's been about a 14% increase in the number of legal permanent residents applying for U.S. citizenship as compared to the prior year. And CAUSA has interviewed a bunch of these people applying for U.S. citizenship, and their number one reason every single time has been, you know, I'm applying for U.S. citizenship because I want to vote. I want to participate in this year's elections because it's not just my family at stake, it's my whole community. And so there is this sense of increased responsibility to participate in voting this year, to the point where people are, you know, applying for U.S. citizenship, which is, I have to say, is not cheap. It's like $665 for the application alone, not even counting legal fees. And so people are very motivated, especially within the Latino community.
Again, we're talking to CAUSA Oregon Executive Director Andrea Miller about immigration issues in the state of Oregon. They represent mostly Latino folks in the state of Oregon. You can join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You know, it's interesting to think that you're trying to work on the state level, but a lot of what goes on about immigration obviously is happening far away. I mean, you have decisions made in Washington, D.C. You have the Texas judge that blocked the deferred action by the administration, and the Supreme Court was unable to overrule that because of its current 4-4 split. Does it feel sometimes like you're doing all you can, but still a lot of the power is elsewhere?
Well, we are very active in a national coalition of other state-based organizations like CAUSA that works to advocate in D.C. and wherever we need to go. So I was in New Orleans, and I was in at the Supreme Court quite a bit because of this recent immigration court case. And so we're very fortunate that there is some national infrastructure to engage local communities in expressing their voice on this issue. You know, our congressional delegates come back to Oregon, and I can't explain enough how important it is for them to hear from their constituents about why this issue is so important. So while Congress is a little bit blocked up and we're in presidential elections and the Supreme Court's 4-4, you know, it does feel far away. But at the same time, there are lots of mechanisms for us to get involved, including, you know, going all the way over there. I can't tell you how many flights I've been on to go directly to the source of where they're making the decisions. And we are always looking to bring family members and people directly impacted by immigration reform to those spaces as well.
You mentioned Measure 88, which I believe is the measure that denied driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants.
So, right. In 2013, Governor Kitzhaber signed a bill called the Safe Roads Act, which established the Oregon Driver Card, a solution for the 80,000 Oregon residents who are undocumented and cannot currently legally apply for driving privileges. Unfortunately, our opponents referred that to the ballot, and it lost in a popular vote. And this is an issue that is a sort of proxy-level issue for immigration reform in the state. And it continues to be a top priority and a continued issue in the state of Oregon. Right now, because Oregon voters said no, moms and dads continue to not be able to drive their kids to the doctor's office, to school, wherever they need to go. And right, when you live in rural Oregon or even outside of the Portland area, public transportation is not the best or even existent at all. And so the need to be able to drive is paramount. And unfortunately, so many families are struggling to get by in order to just live out their daily life. And so this driver license, driver card issue is something that CAUSA will always have an eye on, and will continue to seek solutions for families in our state.
Well, then, if CAUSA is trying to block some of the things that would restrict immigrants in Oregon, things like Measure 88, if they were to come down the pike next time, and as you mentioned, there are more initiative petitions filed, are there measures that CAUSA is working to put on the ballot for themselves?
So we typically do not. It is so expensive and is such a huge undertaking to qualify an initiative. CAUSA is a small organization. We're 7 staff. And so we really seek to work in coalition to qualify initiatives. Our general opinion is that generally for any minority community, it's not a great idea to have a popular vote on people's rights. We saw this with the LGBT community. We've seen it with the immigrant community, especially when rhetoric is so heated and there's so much hate being spewed by leaders at the national level. It's really difficult to have a complex conversation with people at the ballot box. And so we like to have these types of efforts go through the legislative process, where there's 90 legislators that discuss it for 6 months, and there's lots of public process, there's hearings, you know, opportunities to have further engagement and more complexity in our conversations. And so you'll see CAUSA very active at the state legislative level, and we do support proactive, positive ballot measures, but us ourselves do not particularly have the capacity or interest in going to the ballot in the same way that our opponents do.
Andrea Miller, once again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the executive director of CAUSA Oregon, working on behalf of immigrants in the state, primarily Latino immigrants. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take a few more minutes with it. 800-838-3760 to talk about the rights of immigrants as opposed to the rest of the population in Oregon. 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. And it seems like, Andrea, you do have pretty good relations with people in office. It was that picture of Kate Brown signing bills at the end of the 2015 legislative session with a couple of kids in CAUSA t-shirts standing right next to her.
Absolutely, yes. And that actually was, I want to, you know, dismantle a little bit about this us versus them narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Immigrants in Oregon, you know, they're part of the fabric of our state. They keep our nurseries and our agricultural community and economy going. They have U.S.-born children. So I want to make sure that when we're thinking about immigrants in Oregon, we're thinking about the general population because they are connected. Their children are the future of Oregon. And so in that type of thinking, CAUSA has been out there supporting things like the minimum wage, supporting issues that increase benefits for all workers, not just immigrant workers. And so that picture that you're describing of kids next to Governor Kate Brown, she was actually signing a bill to increase paid sick days for all workers in the state so that people don't have to choose between taking a day off of work and taking care of their kid and a payday. And so it's that type of stuff you'll see CAUSA supporting, yes, on immigrant rights, but we also recognize that there are these bigger picture bills that where we see disparities in communities like African American, Latino, Asian Pacific Islander. There's huge disparities among our communities of color as compared to the general population. And we also see our role as supporting issues of that advance equity, and that includes increasing the minimum wage and other types of housing issues that impact the general populace. Again, because it's not just about immigrants, it's about their families, and we're all connected.
And what is the actual number now? We've been talking in terms of north of 10% of the Oregon population now, immigrants, Latino immigrants, so we're talking, what, 500,000 or more?
That's about right, yes. And also, in terms of the Latino community, including immigrants and non-immigrants, it makes up about 12% of the population. And when you look at other diverse communities, including African American, Asian Pacific Islanders, et cetera, people of color make up about 20% of Oregon's community and growing. I mean, the Asian Pacific Islander population is our fastest growing population. And then second is Latinos. Again, most of that growth is attributed to U.S.-born kids, as opposed to immigration. People think that, you know, most of our growth of our communities of color are immigrants, but that's actually not true. Immigration has gone down. Immigration has decreased, especially from places like Mexico, because immigration is driven by the economy. And once the recession hit, and the Mexican economy changed a bit, people started to stay home. So we don't see there's not this massive flood of immigrants coming into our state like our opponents love to talk about. It's really the natural native-born growth in our own state that is causing demographic change.
You mentioned not wanting to take measures to the ballot because talking about people's rights is not a good situation at the ballot box. But does CAUSA, for example, support legislators for office?
So we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that we are not legally able to tell people to vote one way or the other on candidates. However, we are able to issue opinions on ballot measures. So, you know, we're lucky that in 2016, we have actually a pretty positive slate of ballot measures. You see issues like increasing funding for our schools and health services and senior services, you know, dedicating more funding to outdoor school and other programs to help, you know, students graduate from high school. So, I feel fairly positive and good about this year's set of ballot measures. And CALSA certainly is reaching out to Latino voters about why they should vote on these types of issues.
Measure 97, the gross receipts tax, is the big one for a lot of people. We provide a lot more money to the state budget. What's CALSA's position on that?
We have actually endorsed a yes vote on Measure 97, which increases the corporate minimum tax for large corporations in order to increase funding for school programs, for senior services, and healthcare services. And we really support this because, again, like I said, we're interested in decreasing inequities in Oregon. And in order to do that so many times, you know, we need better schools, we need smaller class sizes. You know, as I said, one in four first graders are Latino, so education is huge, and it's often the pathway out of poverty for so many families. And so this type of measure is really going to help us get to those solutions.
Never a dull moment, I'm sure.
That's right. Never a dull moment in this work. But I, you know, there's so many passionate and energized people, and I look forward to the continued work.
Andrea Miller is the executive director of CALSA Oregon, working for immigrant rights in the state. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.